1-800-LOVE-191, fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Bruce is a board-certified physician, an internist, and a emergency medicine specialist.
Keep going.
And addiction medicine specialist, and removes tats from gang members.
Hey.
He's well-qualified.
Can I say hi to the guys at CYA?
Sure.
Hi, guys at CYA.
California Youth Authority.
Yeah.
These are guys who are locked up.
I got a list. Well, they're rehabilitating.
They can't go home if they want.
No.
Okay.
But they all like you. Up. They listen to you.
I like criminals, too.
It's Adam Carolla they listen to, not Dr. Drew.
Why?
Because
thank
they're
very much.
Rehabilitating.
Now, when you remove their tats, you remove that teardrop tat oftentimes?
Yeah.
The one, that teardrop that
by
stands for being in prison?
I'm not sure what. Even after the hundreds I've removed, I'm not sure exactly what it stands
but
for.
But is that the most popular tat you remove?
Three dots. And
where are the three dots?
Frequently on the wrist or the side of the wrist, most commonly.
What do the three dots signify?
My crazy life? I don't know. Well, now that I've given the wrong answer, someone will call in and tell me what it is. But
you don't know? You don't ask the guys?
You know, I've asked and it's like, don't.
What, are they, what is the most popular one? Isn't it that cross that's by the between the forefinger and thumb?
13, this 18th Street from the 18th Street. I do see a lot of 18th Street guys.
A lot of gang guys.
A lot of gang guys.
All right. Well, it's the Lord's work that you're doing.
Yeah. They get jobs easier that way. If it says FDLAPD on your forehead in tattoo ink,
it's hard to get a gig, hard to get admitted into the police academy. Yeah. Priscilla?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, when I was 5 years old, it was like right around there, I was on a T-ball team, and I was sitting on a bat. It was like the thing that people did, you know, and like it slipped and it like cut me like down there, and I had to like go to the doctor and everything.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And
you were sitting on a bat.
Yeah.
Right.
And it, like, cut me somehow. I still don't know how.
I tried sitting on a pool stick once. It's still in me.
Yeah.
And it just broke it off.
Yeah.
All right. So you're sitting on a bat, which it didn't sound like the greatest place to sit, but you slip and it cuts you.
Right.
In the vaginal area at 5 years old.
Right. And I bled for, you know, like, a few days or whatever. And they didn't put any stitches or anything down there. They just said to, you know, like, let it heal.
Uh-huh.
I don't really remember that much of it. And so, but now I can't, like have an orgasm. So I was wondering if that was related to it or not.
It's probably not related at all. Now, you can't pleasure yourself? Is it during intercourse you can't have an orgasm?
No.
You have a boyfriend?
Yeah.
And you've had sex with a few guys?
Yeah.
How about oral sex?
Yep.
And that doesn't work either?
Nope.
All because of the Louisville vibrator got back.
No, I was five. I mean, no, right. I just don't know. I'm just
wondering. Okay, here's the deal, and I think Bruce agrees with this. There's probably no connection.
Right.
There's plenty of 20-year-old girls who can't have an orgasm, and you're one of them.
Right.
And it wasn't because they got a bat put up them.
Right.
Right.
Minor trauma at that age is not related to not having an orgasm at your point. But
all right,
there are other questions we could...
No, you just stick with the same guy, make sure. You got a much better chance of getting one through oral sex. So that's the place to look.
I've tried that. I mean, I've tried everything.
Yeah. Well, if you get the right guy and he hangs out there long enough, something may happen.
Yeah, I hope so.
You ever try doing something for yourself?
Yeah, doesn't work either.
Doesn't work either?
Nope.
How about the bathtub?
Tried the bathtub.
You did?
Yeah.
With the water on?
Yeah.
I see.
And then we can get into, are there any other issues in terms of intimacy?
No. I mean, I'm happy.
All right. All right. Well, listen. Here's the deal. Here's the sad truth. Stop me if you think I'm wrong here, Bruce. But just do it with one word. Don't ramble on.
Hmm.
There's a certain percentage of women at age 20 who just cannot have an orgasm.
Right. I would agree.
At age 20, the percentage of women who cannot have an orgasm through any circumstances, I would say, would be 20%, maybe 15 or 20%, something like that. Now, at age 30, that number probably drops down to about 5%. Would you agree with that?
Agree.
So, time is on your side. You'll eventually work it out. Call us back in 10 years. I'm sure Bruce will still be here. And if it's not, if you can't have the orgasm, then it's time to look into it. Until then, just find one guy, stick with him, and see if you guys can't work it out. Andy?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Yeah, I've, like, never had a girlfriend before. And I've kind of lately, ever since I went to college, been a little more into my right hand than I should.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least so, I think. And, like, I'm wondering, like, if that's having, like, if that's, like, a result of not having a girlfriend or if it's, like, affecting my ability to associate with women or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's basically, I mean...
How long have you been dating your right hand?
Well, if we want to go back to way back to first contact, it's probably when I was, like, 13 or 14.
So you met your right hand when you were 13 or 14.
Yeah.
Did you immediately begin dating?
Oh,
or were you just friends for a while?
It was just kind of off and on until I went to college, and then
yeah.
Now it's like, I live like in an apartment now, and I have like a roommate, but he lives in town and he's always gone, so I basically mm-hmm. have a lot of time to myself.
Yeah, that's what happened with me and my right hand. I remember meeting my right hand about the eighth grade, and we didn't hit it off. There was no initial attraction, but we did pass each other in the hall, and we hung out a little. We had some mutual friends, like the left hand and my testicles. And we all used to hang out together, smoke pot, drink some Boone's Farm Wild Berry wine in the park. And one night, my right hand and my penis just got together, and it was magic. Huh. And it was a few years after we originally met, but they've been together ever since. Going strong.
It's a lovely story. How many?
They recently celebrated their 20th anniversary. I don't know if you know that.
I didn't see the picture.
Well, you're at my house. You saw the picture of my right hand up on the mantelpiece, didn't you? No?
I must have missed that. But Now, Andy, how many times a day are we talking?
Like, minimum one, like, no less. Like, maximum probably 7 or 14. 8.
So, 7 or 8. Well, one's one thing, 7 or 8's another. You know, masturbation can be part of an obsessive sexual practice.
How
and
dare you?
If the way things, a lot of things like this go, if they do interfere with what would be a normal relationship or your drive for such, and you'd prefer the company of your hand as Adam might, as Adam would, then you might need to look into this and see somebody. I think 7 or 8 times a day, you're not having a normal relationship. What's going on here?
Andy, well, Andy, listen to me, brother. Your sperm is your motivation in life. Look at that as the engine in the fuel tank of your car.
Yeah.
Without it, the car's just parked in the driveway. It's not going anywhere. It is the fuel that gets you down the street to the market and into life. You understand?
Yeah.
And that sperm is in the sack, the fuel tank of your body, motivates you. And you need to build up a little once in a while.
And thank God there's not more flexibility in your back or you'd never leave the house.
That's right. You almost didn't leave my house. Bruce came over tonight, everybody. We ate, and I was this close to a hand job. But here's... Don't play stupid now. Listen, Andy, don't whack off for, I was going to say a week, and then I pictured myself not doing it for a week and realized I wouldn't
work. No one would live with you.
Yeah, do it for 2 or 3 days and see if it doesn't give you a little more sexual energy, and then go out and try to get some chick drunk. All right, buddy.
Horrible advice.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with you. Just ask women out. Start at the bottom and work your way up.
Anything like that can become obsessive.
That's right.
If you're learning, if you're teaching your brain, you're stimulating your mesolimbic dopamine system, you're getting the old dopamine level up through self-stimulation, it could become a problem. And this guy, it sounds like he's subverting his normal drive through masturbation.
Fine, so lay off.
You don't want to know about his relationship with his mother and father.
Amy? No.
Yes.
You're 25.
I think you're bypassing my calls, my choices.
Yeah,
I want to talk
25.
To a chick. What's up there, Amy?
I've been really, I think, probably depressed lately. About 2 weeks ago, this old biddy, this nurse that I work with, said that she saw me test driving a PT Cruiser on company time, which wasn't true. And I got it cleared up with the boss man and everything. But
for
about a week, I haven't been able to get out of bed before 1. It's all I can think about. I burst into tears frequently.
Well, what's all you can think about?
All I can think about is that people at work must think I'm, sorry, a dishonest person or something. And I'm a psych nurse, and I'm all of a sudden
you're
thinking,
damn lying, and you know it.
Yeah, listen, nobody at work really cares about you. You got to look at it that way.
That's, I guess I'm realizing it. It's bursting my idealistic bubble.
Psych nurse. What a miserable, miserable job that must be.
It's so much fun, Adam, but now I'm thinking, like, maybe I need an antidepressant. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me.
Well, you got the keys to the medicine cabinet, don't you?
This sounds like fun.
I sure hell do.
Where was she when I was working on this boring site?
Listen, just go grab a handful of something and see what works for you. White ones work. If white ones don't work, the blue ones or the green ones might work, right, Bruce?
You don't sound like you have a real flat affect to me.
You sound much less depressed than a lot of people who claim not to be depressed who call this show.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's endogenous depression and there's situational depression.
Right.
It sounds pretty situational, in which
I
case...
Feel like it
hold
is
on. Is endogenous the same as indigenous?
No. You're an indigenous native to the armpit
San
of the...
San Fernando Valley.
Right, exactly.
Yes, the armpit of the world.
Exactly.
And endogenous means it's always with you.
It's idiopathic. I think it comes from with... It doesn't have a specific cause.
Hold on a second.
Oh, God.
Is that what it means?
A medical quiz?
Here's what it means. Here's what it sounds like, though, that the reason these two words, indigenous and endogenous, are so close is indigenous means these are people who are always here, original people.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like the aborigines are indigenous people to the outback of Australia.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Are you a philologist on the side?
Just listen. But endogenous... Mm-hmm. Means that this is a depression that's
native.
always been with you,
or it's from always or originating.
Well, maybe it's the same word that's just being pronounced differently.
No, it's not the same word.
You sure?
Well, one's a doctor word, one's a sociologist.
Yeah, but doctor words like to take words that everyone else uses, mispronounce them a little bit so they get paid more money.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely true.
You look up endogenous, Amy.
Yeah, do you have any advice for me?
Yeah, well, first off, screw that old bag at work.
Yeah.
I smell a little mercy killing coming on.
Yeah.
And listen, how overweight are you?
Oh, God.
Come on, baby.
Only 15 pounds.
15?
Yeah.
All right. What about losing that 15? You need a nice man. You need you're one good humping away from a good day. You got a man?
Well, no, actually.
No, you go home, you make some top ramen, you open the Reader's Digest, and you play with your cat Mittens, right?
I have no cats. That's pitiful.
What'd you do, roll over and kill one while you're sleeping?
No, I have a social life. It's not that bad.
All right, you do?
Look, along with the mild depression, you'll lose your appetite for a while.
And let me tell you something about that 15 pounds. That's 25 pounds. You're being kind to yourself. And let me just say this. And I don't want to be cruel, but guys are cruel, so I might as well tell the truth here.
Yeah.
There's many beautiful women with beautiful personalities. They got a lot going for them, and they're perpetual 25, 30 pounds overweight, and they've done it their whole life, and it takes them right out of the dating game. They get a little dates, but not with the guys they want.
Mm-hmm.
You could drop that 15 or 20 pounds. It wouldn't be any big deal. And then date all the hot guys.
You're inspiring me.
All right, so just do it.
Okay.
All right, stop eating so many carbohydrates and eat a little more protein, get a little exercise, and you'll immediately feel better. Ride your mountain bike. Start taking walks. Listen to classical music and take long walks. You'll feel better, and stop worrying about old people at work. You're fine. Let's keep rolling. You feeling good? Dave?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to look up. Bruce, look up endogenous.
Okay.
You better pray you're right, college boy.
God.
You better pray. Yes.
Yeah, I had to kind of make it my question.
You did what?
I want to talk to you about Taboo 2.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Just got the movie.
Dave is 17, yes. Taboo 2.
Best horror movie ever made.
Yes. Yes, he does. You remember this part?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I
do. Playing the guitar.
He knows how to please in every detail. You know the theme singing. He can do
more than you ever imagine.
And do it with style.
He does it with me. Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, boy, you're doing a lot of jacking off. I know that you thought that you knew him. Bruce, jump in. Come on, buddy. You know the words.
Don't know the words.
Here's a good part.
Oh, Bruce,
maybe
you know the words.
Did,
come on, Dr.
But
Spaz.
You don't.
I'm listening to these spazzes sing, and I'm reading a dictionary. Is this
he
love
only
line,
reveals what he wants you to see and then shows it all. And when he does... He satisfies me. All right, turn that off. I'd like to see Taboo 2, the musical.
What is Taboo 2? It's got to be a porno movie.
One of the best porn movies ever made.
With this music in it?
Dave.
The best movie ever made.
Yeah, where did you get hold of this?
I got on the internet. They sell the whole series. There's like 15 of them.
Mm-hmm. I know, but two's my favorite.
Hey, do you know, have you ever seen that 70s show?
Yeah.
The sister on that looks just the same as the sister on the 70s show.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
She does look a little like her. Jeez, I can't remember her name. I'm going to study that film tonight. Like the Zapruder films. I study that thing back and forth. Yeah,
you're your right
hand. There's a lot more music on it.
Yeah, I love that Bambi. And what about Junior? He's a good guy. What a gentleman, banging his mom and his sister.
Who's Ron Jeremy in that movie? My friends and I are trying to figure that out.
What's that?
Who's Ron Jeremy?
What's his part?
The pituitary chest?
Ron Jeremy is orgy goer number 14. He doesn't really have a part in that. He just kind of walks on and has sex with everybody.
Is this one of his first movies?
That's during the orgy. It's earlier in his career. It was probably, pretty early in his career. It was probably only his 250th porn movie.
He's a remarkable intellect. I, of course, met him filling in on for Drill and Bloodline.
He's a gentleman and a scholar. Yeah. Dave, are you saying you didn't recognize Ron Jeremy?
No.
Okay. Ron Jeremy, you know the orgy scene about three-quarters of the way through the thing?
Yeah.
I want to be going and coming with you, baby. You remember that part? You're scaring me.
You know this movie that well?
Yeah, I know all the words. Oh, he is the fat, hairy Jewish guy with the big penis who's... he's doing those two chicks from behind.
You know, that's him. And then he's trying to figure out who's the one. Like, the hair goes like three quarters of the way up his penis.
Yeah, he does this one girl from behind, and then he switches over and does this other one for a while.
Yeah,
that's him. All right, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. All right, I'm glad I could clear that up. There's a lot of 17-year-olds who can't spot Ron Jeremy's old work.
Your knowledge of pornography is frightening.
Second to none. Did you find indigenous
yet? Yeah, I'm looking for indigenous.
All right.
I was correct, of course.
Wendy, you're 19. What's up?
I've got TMJ syndrome, and because of that, I can't keep my mouth open very wide for very long.
Right.
And when I'm trying to go down on a guy, I can't complete it.
I see.
And I'm just wondering if I could get advice on how to make it last longer or how to do it faster or better. I don't know.
Interesting. God bless you for asking. How's your ear?
It's fine.
Would that work?
No.
No. What about this TMJ, Bruce?
TMJ is a very diverse disorder. It ranges from something that's very real and serious
to something
that's quite psychosomatic.
I see.
So have you been to a good oral surgeon? Have you had a CT scan or a study of your TMJ? Or is this something you went to the GP and he said you've got TMJ?
When I was 13, I got braces. And my dentist told me, and he referred me to some specialist. And I went there, and they didn't do anything more. They just told me that I had it, and if it got too bad, to come back.
Well,
and if you open your mouth past a certain point, it locks open?
Yeah.
Okay, how do you get it? I mean, if you really have that, you end up in the emergency room trying to get it unlocked. I mean...
Yeah.
But how many times does that happen?
What's wrong with it staying open for the BJ?
It's just like it, past a couple minutes, it just starts really hurting, and I could tell it's crimping up.
Right.
And so I have to stop, or else it will crimp up, and I can't get it closed again.
My strategy with you would be to get going on my own, get about, 7/8 of the way there, and then have you just hop on for the last, the home stretch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've done it like that. It kind of sucks.
Do you take Motrin or muscle relaxant? Do you have anything like that?
No.
Well, Motrin's over the counter, of course. So you could try taking, as long as you're not allergic or...
She could take a few Motrin before she prostituted herself out to some drunken sailor?
TMJ is just a really difficult to pin down disorder, and the treatment's notoriously ineffective, many of them.
Well, what do they do, give you a mouthpiece or something like that?
Yeah, they try various things like that. The oral surgeons will frequently recommend surgery if they can pinpoint.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I got a little of that myself, actually. I do. My jaw clicks all the time, always pops. Wendy?
Well,
why don't you go back to the specialists and see what they have to say?
Yeah, now that you threw adolescence in your bone structure, you're done growing.
Yeah.
Get examined and see if they want to do any studies of that area and tell them what your symptoms are. But many times you end up...
You tell them the symptoms. You go, listen, 97 out of the last 110 guys I tried to blow in the last six-month period, my jaw stuck open. And that's an alarmingly high percentage.
And their jaw will drop open and they will not know what to...
All right, go talk to the specialist. Tell them it's still doing it. And go for that Motrin. So you take, what, two Motrin? What, an hour?
You take four. You take 800 milligrams.
Take four?
Yeah.
How long before?
Yeah, the hour before.
Hour? Hey, Bruce, okay. What about, thanks. What about that, like, with stuff like that? How long should you, how long does it take something like that to get into full effect in your body?
An hour or so for?
About an hour or so. It depends.
Something like Amy Tylenol.
Empty or full or whatever. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, if you want the full effect of a Motrin, a Tylenol, or something like that, and you want to be able to sort of time it for when it's going to be at its peak, what would you say?
You look at the dosage schedule for drugs, and if it's a drug that lasts 12 hours, a drug that lasts, something that lasts 4 hours, you'd figure that it's, you know, your peak levels would be at
two hours.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So if it's six,
so it's going to be
if it's 6 hours, the peak might. I mean, if it's
might be,
if it's 12 hours, the peak might be about 6 hours.
Yeah, depending on many pharmacologic variables, which I probably forgotten long ago.
Right. All right. Well, we will take ourselves a little break. When we come back, you want to speak to Jay?
He gets violent when somebody breaks up with him.
Yeah, I don't like that. What about Lisa over here?
Yeah, Lisa.
Had experience with another girl with boyfriend who touched the other girl.
Oh.
Let me figure it real quick. Lisa?
Yes.
You have a boyfriend?
Well, my husband, actually.
Oh, your husband?
Oh. Yes.
Well, that's good. And you had an experience with another woman?
Yes.
And your husband was supposed to do what? Just watch and whack?
Yeah, well, we were all laying semi-close to each other. And, he was just supposed to lay and watch and be more involved with me, and you know,
ended up grabbing her.
Yeah, he ended up reaching up, and I didn't find out till the next day that he ended up grabbing on her.
When she told you?
Yeah, it was. They both kind of.
I see.
I kind of tricked him into telling me, saying, "Why don't you tell me your side of the story?" And
telling me.
And
all right, hold on. This is what I love about women, by the way. I love when they come at you with. I know something. They do it all the time. I spoke to Gina Kimmel. What do you know about Saturday? And you go, I don't know. What did she tell you? Forget about what she told me. Why don't you tell me what you know? And you go, see, guys don't pull that crap. Guys just walk over, you know, smack them with a beer bottle and go home or something. You filthy whore! And they leave, but they don't pull that.
But the secret is when a woman pulls
yeah,
it on you.
You know,
if you get the deer in the headlights syndrome,
yeah.
You're finished.
And you know the worst thing is when they make up something where they don't know anything
right.
After like a bachelor party or something, and they'll do this. Now, they don't really know anything, and they try to get you to cave. And this is why you never cave. Because they'll do this. You'll come back from the bachelor party, and they'll go, so did you have a good time? You go, yeah. You always do that stupid thing as a guy? Yeah, it was okay. I mean, nothing great.
Guilty.
Yeah, because women, you know what I love about women? They get pissed when you have a good time and they're not there. They'll go, how was that weekend? Now, you could have had the time of your life, but you have to downgrade a little.
Right.
I give it a 5. You know, nothing great. It was okay. It would have been better if you were there, honey.
Oh.
It was just okay. You know, the usual bunch of guys sitting around drinking beer. No big deal. I was ready to get out of there. That's always the one I pull. I was ready to get out of there after about an hour. Jimmy didn't want to leave until 5:30 in the morning. I said, what could I do? I was ready to go at 8.
He was drunk and I couldn't leave.
I was ready to go at 8. Well, oh, you're talking about the DUI? Well, I had to drink. What was I going to do? Well, listen, if I didn't touch the stripper, they would have ran me out of there on a rail. And everyone else just did. It just kind of forced me to do it. But you know, so what chicks will do, and I know this is probably one of your moves, if Doug goes to a bachelor party and you have no idea what went on at the bachelor party, you try to get him to slip. You go, I talked to Janine about that's Larry's husband. Yeah, she told me everything. She did? Oh, yes. Like what? Oh, everything. Well, and then the guy starts caving. I wasn't the one who brought the mule in. I just held it. I just held the mule. And then it's like, oh, with the mule. And then here's how this worked. Now you talk to Janine, and Janine talks to Larry. So, Doug told me about the mule. Oh, that sea sucker. I'll kill him. Then it starts spinning out. This is how cops do it.
Yeah.
Cops do it this way. The good cop, bad cop. They pull the guy across. Say, yeah, where were you? What do you know? Uh-huh. Well, that's not what I heard. Meanwhile, half the time they didn't hear anything. No. Right, Ann?
Well, you know what? Hmm. If you would have stayed home with your woman, there wouldn't be any problem at all.
I've heard that before.
Right, but Ann, seriously.
You guys create the chaos.
I know, but be honest. You have pulled that on a boyfriend or a husband where you've said you let him think that you knew much more than you really knew.
Why not? I want to know what happened.
Right. It's the equivalent. It's equivalent to like a boss saying to his employee like every month, I know you've been stealing. Or when, you know, your mom would walk in your room, go, I smell pot. Who's been smoking? I smell pot. Someone's been smoking pot in here. She doesn't smell anything, but she's waiting for you to just yell out one of your friends' names or something, or cave, or do something stupid. That's why you just can't cave. You got to just stick with it. Just stay with it.
It's as obvious to women as that TV commercial where the guy's out on the dock and he's been wearing the glasses and he goes, oh, my boss doesn't know where I am. And he's got the big sunburn around his eyes. You ever see that?
No, I've never seen
like
that.
The guys,
I have.
The guys that go skiing and they have a big raccoon.
We got it, Bruce. All right, bye. Sure, right. Bruce is my call for the rest of the show.
Would you like me to read Endogenous for you?
No, we'll take a little break. Bruce will have his reading of the dictionary after this.
Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Love Line. From Adam Carolla, that's the notorious lecherous Dr. Spaz over there. He knows I'm right.
Shut up.
I gave Ann the whole skinny on Dr. Spaz over there.
You got me all wrong, man.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, so now you looked up indigenous.
And endogenous.
And you looked up endogenous.
Endogenous.
Indigenous means?
Indigenous means. Where are my reading glasses?
Oh, for Christ's sake. You never failed to disappoint.
I know. It's my goal. Having originated in and being produced, growing, living, or occurring naturally in a particular region or environment.
All right. That's indigenous.
Endogenous. A. Caused by factors inside the organism or system. B. Produced or synthesized within the organism or system.
All right.
Therefore, an endogenous depression is from within rather than from
the environment.
Environmental cause.
All right. Very good, Dr. Bruce. Right as usual. Lisa? Still say the words are connected. You're 22. What's up? Oh, yes. You have, you're married.
Yes.
You have any kids?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
How many?
One.
No! Oh, okay. I guess that's all you could have. That's the least possible. And you were fooling around with your husband in bed with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal was, is you were just going to have this little interlude with this woman. In front of your husband.
Yes.
But that the agreement was he was not going to join in.
Yes.
And when was this agreed upon?
Well, I've been involved with this girl twice now, and this was the second time. And after the first time, we talked about it, and we said that the men were not going to get involved. They were just going to watch.
What do you mean, the men?
Yes. Her husband also.
Uh-huh.
But her husband wasn't there this time.
I see.
Yes.
And you guys were all in bed.
Yes.
And she was doing oral sex on you,
mm-hmm.
and you were doing it on her.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your husband doing?
He was being involved with me, messing around with me.
Yeah, like he was working the top side while she was down below?
Yes.
I see. And then when did... Yeah, but see, here's what I'm asking, Goofball. When did he cross the line and work her over?
When I was working on her, he was kind of messing around with me, and then he reached up and grabbed her.
When you were going down on her?
Yes.
I see. And couldn't you see that from your vantage point?
Well, we were, like, messing around all over. And
I see.
Just messing around.
All right. Yeah. So how big an offense is this to your crazy bisexual lifestyle? I mean, this really crossed the line? This really offended your delicate sensibilities?
Well, I was just wondering if I had the right to be angry.
Nah. Well, listen, you guys had an agreement, but the agreement is sort of like this. It's like two guys saying, let's get drunk and let's have a boxing match, but no punching in the gut. And about round three, and after a pony cake, one guy slugs the other guy in the gut. It's kind of like, well, you agreed on it, but on the other hand, the fist and beer were flying. What did you expect? I guess is my answer.
And listen, the agreement was made under duress. He's dying to get in bed with two women.
Listen,
he'll tell you anything.
Because he would agree. He would agreed to a asbestos enema at that point. Do you understand?
Number,
I see you two going.
Number
at
one,
it.
You ask if it's okay to be angry. I mean, do you have a very arbitrary ruling in your marriage? It sounds like as to what's okay and what's not. I mean, when you start doing stuff as a threesome, or you're having any sexual contact with somebody else, whether it's male or female, you're asking for the destabilization of the marriage. I mean, that's just sort of the rule with threesomes.
And let me tell you something. The whole reason this was instigated in the first place is so she could get angry, because she's looking to destabilize.
What's
wrong with you, Lisa?
On, right.
Where's your daddy?
Where's my dad?
Yeah.
He's here.
What happened?
Nothing.
What'd he do?
Nothing.
Be honest.
Nothing.
What'd he do to you?
Nothing.
Did he beat on you?
No.
Huh?
No.
Alcoholic?
No.
When were you molested?
I was not.
Raped?
No.
What happened to you?
Nothing.
Who didn't pay attention to you?
Nobody.
Okay. Daddy? So, I'm not done. What did daddy do for a living?
He was a millwright.
Aha! A what?
Works with metal. Yeah, mills.
He works with metal?
He does everything in a mill.
Yeah, what kind of mill?
Like a wood mill, wood products.
Aha. Aha.
Close enough.
It's all coming in and we're clear. And he didn't drink?
Nope.
No. And he's together with mommy?
Yep.
And what got you so chaotic? And don't be defensive. Be honest now. Where'd your parents drop the ball? Daddy didn't pay attention?
No.
What? He did? He loved you?
Yes.
He respected you?
Yeah.
He took care of you?
Yeah.
What happened to you?
Okay.
What happened to you?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
Are you getting the message from Adam? Do you understand what he's trying to say? I mean, what you did, it's evidence of a chaotic relationship, of something being wrong. And whether that the origin of that is in your family of origin, with your relationship with your dad or your mom, or substance abuse, or...
Hold on, I'm not done. When did you move out of the house?
16.
Oh, you moved out at 16. Mm.
Yes.
Why?
Because I was being a rebellious teenager.
Uh-huh. But everything was great at home. You just moved out at 16.
Well, I mean, we were having the normal teenage parent confrontations, but...
And you moved... Where do you move out at 16?
I moved in with my husband.
At 16?
Yeah.
And
now you're 22.
Well, how old is your husband now?
He's 25.
So he was, what, 3 years old? So he was 19?
Yes.
Hmm.
And you moved out?
Yes.
All right, hold on a second. Bruce, you know goddamn well everything's great on the home front. Nobody moves out at 16. I mean, this ain't a little house on the prairie, for Christ's sake. This is 5 years ago.
Whether or not it is, you're not going to get
listen,
that out of her.
Listen, I don't have to get it out of her. You move out of your house as a 16-year-old because you and your parents are going at it. That's trouble on the home front. Well, don't give me that. What the F is wrong with you?
They're teenagers.
What is it? Why can't you agree with me? What is a crime in you? What do you mean? You name me a family where the kid moves out at 16. Goes off to college. That goes off to college. Get some sort of a scholarship somewhere. Moves out because they can't handle the parents.
Their
you
kids.
Say that's good? That's fine? There's no problem with that?
I have to learn to answer in two syllables.
Idiot. Shut up. I'm done with you. Lisa?
Yeah.
Listen, you're a chaos queen. You're going to screw this relationship up. And you're going to screw your kids up. And you're going to have the same crappy relationship that you have with your parents with your kids. You talk to your parents?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
You guys put whatever you had to put behind you?
Yes.
All right. When did you lose your virginity?
15.
All right. With your with this screwball?
No.
What's your husband do?
He is an insulator.
No. Oh. You talking about insulator?
Yes.
Oh, he's crawling around attics all day putting in R19?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. All right, now listen to me. How old is your kid?
He's 6 months.
All right. That is your focus. Your number one job in life is not to screw that kid up. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Now, you have to have a stable relationship so you don't screw that kid up. And you can't have a stable relationship when you're screwing around with your friends and neighbors. All right?
Okay.
So, whatever happened, happened. Forgive your husband, put it behind you, focus on being a good couple and taking care of this youngin', okay?
Okay.
Oh, please.
All right. Thank you very much.
Wait a second.
You're all right. You take care of yourself.
And the world is an okay place now that you've had your tirade.
Listen, jackass, with the is it okay to move out at 16? That doesn't suggest any trauma on the home front. You've got to give me that. Well, first off, you don't even make a sound of the mic. That's what I love about you.
Listen.
All right, cool down. Let's not argue. Then I get the puss. I get the, well, it could go either way, puss.
First of all, she got married. She was too young when she got married. They've changed a lot. She's... And he both have the feelers out for other stuff. And the thing is on the rocks. They need to admit what's going on and either decide to work on it together, but quit the threesomes.
All right.
Quit.
I want you to give me an example of someone who moved out at 16 now where everything was great.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you about
that. Don't give me that puss.
Fred Jorgensen over on State Street.
Shut
over
up,
there.
You jackass.
No, son, listen, Jeff.
If your kids moved out when they were 16, you'd have a heart attack.
I'd have a party.
Well, that's true. Idiot. Oh, boy. What name is that?
He's just a dick.
I agree, Drew.
Luella.
Luella?
Yeah.
Luella.
I must have put too much ecstasy in your fried calamari tonight.
Is that how you spell Luella?
Yeah.
Come on.
Jesus. Okay. All right. What's
how
up
you
there?
Doing?
Fine. How
Better
are you?
I don't know. It's a tough night so
oh,
far.
Oh, shut up.
You know, I'm a real doctor, and I'm getting called names and
shake
abuse.
You don't even talk. Should have let Drew come in tonight. You just sit there and shake your head.
Where's
I ask
Drew?
You a question.
I moved out when I was 17, too.
And, Luella, did you have Genghis the Khan for a father or an abusive mother?
I didn't get along with neither one of them.
But were you abused?
But I was daddy's girl, though. I still didn't get along with them.
Well, you're spoiled.
Well, I was kind of abused, but kind of not. It was both parts. I was just real rebellious.
Yeah, but listen, first off, and I know this, it's only 1 year, but there is a big difference between 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people go off to college at 17 or 18. 16 is very young.
I want to read the Carole book on adolescent development.
Listen, you show me a 16-year-old who moves out of the house, and I'm going to show you trouble at the house.
Oh, I tried to move out when I was 16.
Yeah, now what? Why?
Because I couldn't get along with my parents at all.
And what state are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ohio.
Oh, this is
Indiana, actually. I just moved from Ohio to
Well, this is the Indiana exception. So that's right. Why the other was 16. Shut they were from
up.
California.
You don't know what you're talking about. What's up?
Okay. I was wanting to know a question on my period. I haven't had a period in almost five and a half years.
All right. Hold on. Anderson's got to pee, so hold on.
Okay.
All right. We got to take a break.
Okay.
Just to smoke a cigarette.
All right. Anderson's jumping up and down over there like a
because you're abusing
me. Kid in the back of a
he doesn't
class.
Like it when you're abusive.
Listen, I don't like that. What's in it for you not to agree with me all the time?
I'm just
when
honest,
I'm right.
No, I don't need this.
Honest
gig.
What?
I don't need this job.
You know, you do that same crap Drew does. Here's what you two do. You think because Daddy paid for a degree, you think you got one up on me? Then I lay something out, and because it's my idea, you don't agree with it.
It's because it's flawed that I don't agree with it, and I'm honest with you, and you blow it. You have one of your little neurons shaking around up there making some noise.
What do you think the percentage of 16-year-olds who move out of the house just for the sake of moving out and move in with a boyfriend, what percentage of that isn't because there's some trauma on the home front or some chaos on the home front?
The chaos.
They just move out because it's time to move out at 16 and they found a guy, that they're not seeking refuge somewhere.
There's a difference between abuse perpetrated on an adolescent or a child and a dysfunctional family unit where there's no limits or boundaries set and the kid is just pushing.
I'm not saying the chick was chained to a radiator and beaten with a tire chain. I am saying that the chaos that she experienced on the home, the same chaos that forced her out at 16, is a link to the chaos that she currently has.
That's not the way you're asking. You're asking in terms of abuse. How were you abused, honey? What did they do to you?
Everything was great, except for I moved out when I was 16. Why? Because...
She's still fairly immature, so she doesn't understand that what's not great might have been
my point was I was making a link from the chaos of today to the chaos of yesterday. All right, Jack Hole, and you did nothing to help me bridge that link.
We'll be right back.
All
the
right,
missing
we'll,
link is right, what I we'll work be with.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Bruce over there. Dr. Drew will be back in tomorrow night. And until then, we're...
Kicking my
kicking Dr. Bruce's ass. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191.
You know what I notice? When I'm right... Mm-hmm. When I sit here confidently, it pisses you off. And you just go off like a little frustrated kid.
sit there confidently nodding or shaking your head at a
pisses
microphone.
You off.
Drew does the same thing. That's been the radio for 15 years. He'll shake his head into the mic. He'll nod his head into the mic. He's agreeing. All right.
That's right.
Luella?
Yeah.
All right. So now you haven't had your period in 5 years?
Almost 5.5 years.
But you had a normal period at some point?
Yeah.
In adolescence?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had Noraplan for 5 years. And like the day that I got my Noraplan in, pretty much I stopped right after I got it put in. And stopped having my periods. And then just... recently I had it took out. It was the end of August that I had it took out, and my doctor said that I would start having my period within 3 weeks to 3 months.
And by the way, it's not had it took out, it's had it tooked out.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah. And
there you go.
He said that I would have a period within 3 weeks to 3 months, and I still haven't had one. And I was wanting to know, is there any possible...
Wait, how long since he's taken it out?
Since the end of August.
All right, but not having your period for 5 years is because of the Norplant.
Mm-hmm,
so we're not. Much. So we won't count that, right, Bruce?
Right, it just takes time for things to kick back in. Have you gone... Are you overweight, or are there any...
Yeah, major.
Okay, so there could be other reasons that you're not having your periods come back as quickly as possible, and... Mm-hmm. Sometimes people that are overweight, there are various syndromes that occur that cause that
Why
to happen. Have you gone back to, had a follow-up visit? Has he done any hormone levels?
No.
You need to, I mean, you know.
How overweight are you?
About 75 pounds.
Uh-huh. What's up with that?
I just started gaining it really bad when I got the Noraplant put in.
Oh, really?
And
you're fat.
Drew, please.
Yeah, I am.
No, actually. Don't listen to Drew. He's very rude.
Actually, I am.
All right, well, that's all right, baby. You know, the good thing about being fat is you know who really loves you.
Huh?
You
know?
You find out who really loves you.
Yeah, you don't
get... Oh, I know who loves me.
Who? The vibrator?
My boyfriend.
I see. Yeah, you, black guy?
Huh?
Black?
No.
You don't. I'm just curious. You don't have a. You don't have a bunch of guys chasing you for that tight ass. You know. Yeah. Like, it's love. Is what I'm saying.
I don't have too much of a problem.
Yeah. No. There's plenty of girls starving themselves and throwing up, and what they don't realize is there's a lot of guys out there, like a little cushion.
Yeah.
All right. That's good times, right?
I was wanting to know, though, is there any chance that I could end up pregnant before I start having my period?
Good question.
You can ovulate, and you know, people that does happen, and it depends on what you consider, you know, your period. After all that time, it depends on how thin or thick your endometrium is.
Uh-huh.
But you know, the bottom line is you have to ovulate to have an egg to get fertilized.
Uh-huh.
So whether or not you notice sloughing of the endometrial tissue or not, it depends how much was there, how
that's
much
your period
up.
Right, the sloughing.
Yeah,
so all right, so
I mean, that's
Luella, you need to get back and talk to the guy and get those tests and see if the weight's a factor and all that good
stuff. Once you're on something like that, when you ovulate and what your periods are going to be like initially, it's really hard to predict. So but you need to follow up. That you've gone way too long without following up with your doctor.
God bless her boyfriend. Kurt.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
You're 20. What's up?
Yeah, I just started working at a paleontologist, you know, one of them foot doctors.
Oh. Podiatrist?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. Paleontologist. He digs up old feet,
study
right?
Of ancient, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah,
hold on, Kurt. I'm not so sure I'm enamored with your attitude. I may just put you on hold for a little while.
I think he was sincerely saying that. I thought...
Okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, I've got a foot fetish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously become a problem. You know, I've been kind of abusing people's feet. You know, more of the voluble ones. You know what I'm saying?
Hold on. Who you been studying with? Don King?
Yeah, I got bad vocabulary.
I'm kidding. So... What did you say? The soluble feet?
That's what I thought.
Vulnerable.
What? Vulnerable?
Yeah, that's it.
I see. Are you an actual podiatrist, or are you just a...
No, assistant.
Just assistant. I see. But you're learning to work in a doctor's world.
It's like the pedophile that goes to work at the nursery school.
Ooh, let me write that down.
There you go.
All right.
See?
Kurt, I'm not sure if I believe Kurt exactly. He doesn't exactly sound like a doctor's assistant.
Doesn't sound like he'd make it up either.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like he might. All right, so who cares? You like feet? You work at a place where there's feet.
Yeah, but he's stimulating himself while he's playing with their feet.
Like,
I don't think that's
you like
okay.
Donuts? You get a job at Winchell's.
No. Not if the glaze is not from the sugar barrel.
Bruce, everybody. All right, hey, Bruce, what's your last name, by the way? You know, when I was leaving tickets for you at Will Call at the Super Bowl of Motocross, they were like, what is the name of the guy? I go, Dr. Bruce. And what's his last name?
I don't know.
You don't know his last name? I like when people get weird. I go, listen, Dr. Bruce. And I go, no. I'm like, the guy looks like Opie Taylor and Ichabod Crane mixed together. I said, listen, what is his last name? I said, listen, if a guy comes up and presents himself as Dr. Bruce, give him the ticket.
I swear to God, I went to that window Saturday night and they started laughing.
What is your last name?
In 17 years, Drew has not given his last name on the show. I am not giving my last name.
All right, well, maybe you won't get into the next motocross show, wise ass.
Oh.
All right, listen, hey, Kurt. All right, it's a big deal. You like feet, and you get to see plenty of them.
Nah, that's not all. What else are you doing there?
Well, there's often very many photos of feet that the doctor likes to classify, and I often take, you know, try and take the documents home.
I see.
And return them without him knowing.
I see. And you pleasure yourself to these pictures of feet?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How about you get a job at a shoe store?
Good idea.
Yeah. Listen. What can you do? All right.
Okay. What's
what do you do? What do you
what's
do?
Happened to him? How come you don't do a family history on this guy?
Because I think he's a joker.
I think he's the real thing.
Right, what would you tell him if he was the real thing?
Well, I'd get him to my colleague, the psychiatrist that deals in paraphilias and sexual obsessions.
Right.
Because
what's paraphilias? His feet?
Well, there are various sexual oddities or odd behaviors.
Right.
People would consider them. And things people need to have in the environment of the sex act or to get themselves excited or they can't get excited.
Hold on, genius. Look at the time. We got to take a break.
Oh.
This is crazy.
We just took one.
Well, look at the time. Oh, look at Anderson. He's passing
jumping
out
up
over there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he is. All right. We'll be back with more Foot Talk after this.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce, filled in for Dr. Drew. One more night, then the fabulous return of Dr. Drew, everyone. Dr. Bruce, doing a decent job, though.
Is that where you're screaming at me, calling me things that Anderson has to bleep out?
I'm a motivator. I'm like Vince Lombardi.
Ain't nobody going to hire you to motivate him.
You are an asshole.
Who was that?
That was Violent J from the Insane Clown Posse. You followed this group.
Oh, yeah. Religiously.
Kurt?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Yeah, you already got to me.
Yeah, I know. You got your foot problem. Yeah, hold on a second. Listen, jackass, move your sticker, you idiot. Start doing your job. How dare you have me talk to Kurt again with his foot problem.
Here's a guy. This must be your brother.
Yeah, we were done with Kurt. Kurt's a jack-off.
No, Kurt needs to get some professional help. I'm wondering about his family of origin family of disorder.
Do you really want to dig into Kurt and his foot fetish?
No, he needs to get help, though. He needs to know that.
Okay. Kurt, you go to a therapist.
And talk about this, or you'll lose your job.
Okay.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah. Did you believe him? I didn't believe
him. I believed him.
Well, you're an idiot. You believe in God, too, you idiot. Tony?
I fear
yes,
him.
Sir.
You fear God.
First off, I just want to say what an honor it is to talk to a real man's man, not a spaz. So thank you, Adam, for taking my call.
Thank you, Tony.
Was that an offhanded slam at Dr. Spaz?
Not at all. But it is true. You are a little hyper, a little spazzy.
Oh, yeah. You got to see him in real life.
First off, I don't know where to start. I'll just, you know, honest to God, true story. I work with a couple guys, and we decided to get a P.O. box because we started seeing in the back of Hustler and stuff some real odd porno.
Right.
And, I'm an aficionado just like Adam. I know everyone from Sake all the way to Ron Jeremy. So basically we went off on a weird thing, and we started getting the farmyard fantasy type thing. And at first it was funny and whatever, and I never was sexually turned on by it, but... I would always get a kick out of it, like a bad train wreck or Faces of Death type movie. And
Sure.
It started getting out of control when I was...
Now, hold on. Let me jump in for a second. I've seen these advertisements in the back of the Hustlers, too.
Right.
They never have a real explicit picture. It's just some chick naked, and she's, like, leaning against a horse or something, but you kind of get the idea you're in for something.
Adam, I couldn't tell. I mean, that should be the only picture you should see. It is so disgusting. It's hilarious.
Now, does this stuff come from Europe?
Actually, that's weird you mentioned that. We're big fans of this German company. I've gotten the catalog from them. I'm doing colostomy bag porno now.
Oh, nice.
I mean, it's just out of hand where, you know, I get a kick out of it, but, I mean, you wouldn't believe me. I mean...
All right, hold on. How does the colostomy bag porno work?
Okay, we're on the radio, so basically what happens is there's different versions of putting it into the bag and then pouring up the bag on someone and... this is what's weird about German, they show them eating beforehand, and then they do their thing in the bag, and you see it fill up, and then they take it and just pour it on someone, and then the other guy would masturbate on the bag, you know, just different versions of it.
Do they enter the colostomy hole that's in the side of the person?
I have not seen that yet, but I have seen an amputee with a hook masturbate.
Okay.
All right, well, listen, hold on. I'm no porn director, although, hold on, write that
this
down.
This is one of your big fans. Okay. Well, your big fans are always like,
I'm making colostomy anima, colostomy videos. I have the guy insert his penis in the hole that fills the colostomy bag in the side of the person, not just hump the bag.
I'm overwhelmed.
You know what I mean? This is like saying,
you know what?
Listen, if I'm making a backdoor video, I'm not going to show a guy humping a toilet. Let's show him humping the chick's ass. That's just bad. That's just poor German directing there. You know what I'm saying? All right, so Tony, but hold on now.
Go ahead.
Now, you've... By the way, I've never seen the colostomy bag stuff advertised. You must have got on some mailing list.
Yeah, they can. Everything's in German. I don't know what they're saying. I'd love to have an interpreter.
But hold on. Now, in the sex films, in the bestiality films...
Everything from giraffes to monkeys. It's out of hand.
Wait a minute. No one's
having... Honest to God, I can mail it to you.
Wait a minute. Who is having sex with a giraffe?
That's what I'm so intrigued about. It's like, I'm thinking, what if I saw this lady at the bank, and then 2 hours later, she's getting it on with a walrus? I mean, how am I to know? You know what I mean?
Wait a minute. Tony, slow down. You what?
I have not seen a walrus.
Okay, I understand that. But they were just a little hyperbole there to make a point. But, and by the way, when you're making a point that way, and you go bank, you go alliteration. You go, she's at the bank, and 2 hours later, she's getting over the buffalo. She used to be there.
Right.
The walrus would be, you saw her at the Walmart.
Right.
And then she's getting on with the walrus. See, that's a good sentence there.
Right.
Okay, but anyway, Tony, what are the animals that you have seen women have sex with?
Honest to God, I have seen pigs, horses. I saw a bull, which is unreal, because I guess it was a rodeo bull, according to what I gathered from it, because it was burnt many times on its scrotum to get it riled up. So there was actual, like, stitches, actually fresh stitches on the scrotum where they must have, I don't know, but I've seen bulls, the giraffe I saw.
Hold on now.
That's honest.
First off, how does a chick safely... get under a bull, and how does that work? Tammy, you'll be having sex with the Widowmaker.
I should clarify because...
1,800 pounds.
I don't think OSHA's out there investigating.
Yeah, I should clarify. A lot of times it's oral gratification. As in the case of pork, pig product, or a horse, that I have seen them get the mounting, and there's no pulleys or anything like that. It's just an amazing thing. That's why I'm so intrigued by it, and people call me sick, and it's like, I'm not getting off to it. I'm not... It's hilarious. You know, a woman doing this for money, I mean, that's you know, it's unmentionable.
All right, so now, but Tony, how does a woman, and maybe Ann can answer this, safely perform oral sex on a 1,600-pound bull?
Right.
Well, why would Ann have any... knowledge of
Ann grew up in the 80s, and it was a kind of a anything goes type atmosphere.
Right,
she grew up in a beach community where people are much more relaxed.
Those bulls were running around the beach.
I'm not saying she did. I'm saying maybe she had friends. She was at a party. I mean, you know, Anne's an open
Anne's giving
person.
You a look she's like, what drug did you take? What drug did Dr. Right, Bruce put in?
Okay, they got like farmhand type guys that kind of like, they coax the, in the case of the pig, I mean, this thing.
Okay, well, no, okay, listen, I'm not interested in the pig. I want to know the bull.
I got a visual.
Shut up. I want to know the bull.
I got a 3D visual picture myself. I don't need any more of this. It's sick. Tony, you're a sick person.
Shut up. I asked how she performs oral sex in a bull safely. I want an answer.
Okay, the floor has like a square hole where she pops up from. It's not, it's like in a garage, you know, the how they change your oil?
Yeah, you're right.
It sticks like half of her body up.
As a mechanic's pit.
Right. And or a bestiality pit, if you will.
Right.
And she goes to town in that nature. And what I've noticed is a lot of times if the bull does get too excited, she ducks down in there.
And I see.
But
I see.
The bulls are definitely strapped in, and there's farmhands around. I don't know if they have cattle prods or what it is.
I see.
Okay.
And do the animals reach climax?
That's absolutely the greatest part about the whole thing. About a gallon worth when they
That's great.
And who comes more, giraffe or bull?
Actually, the giraffe was much more, and the giraffe was almost like a tapioca nature.
Oh,
I see. And what, okay. And hold on. And how big is a giraffe's penis?
Oh boy, over a foot and a half, no problem. But it's the width that really matters with the giraffe.
Where the hell do they get a giraffe? And how does this work?
Look, Tony, do you want to know?
All the animals look very, very male, whatever. They're beaten or whatever, but which I'm not advocating by any means.
No. Listen. You merely purchase the product and fund the company, but you're nowhere endorse it.
Right.
I see. All right, so now.
This is where it comes into where I don't mind getting ribbed on by other guys, you know, because they've seen it, too. It's not like, or whatever, but I'm the guy who's always last in the room. Everyone's got to walk out, and you guys got to see this. Check this out. And they're like, no, really, we've had enough. And, you know, they actually have animal gangbang, like four pigs and a woman now. I mean, it's out of hand. And the thing is, I really mean it. You've never seen something this humorous. I mean, it's definitely funny, and people don't perceive me. Maybe I have a sick humor.
Well, you know the rhyme. This little piggy went to the market, and this little piggy went home, and this little piggy had roast beef, and this little piggy had none, and this little piggy cornholed this German bitch.
Right.
I don't know the rest goes. But I remember that one.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, Tony. Hey, Tony.
Yes.
I'm a little mixed on you. I gotta be honest.
Go with it.
I appreciate the information, and I understand the curiosity factor, but at some point, don't you think it demeans you a little bit? I mean, we all know the woman's being demeaned. Anne's worried about the giraffe and his attorney. But I worry about the woman and the people that are involved with this. And it demeans you to some degree to sit there and watch it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the thing that I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying is the fact that afterwards, it's not like I'm proud because I got to finish it. It's like a matter of, wow, how come I'm sick enough to watch those things?
All right, so why don't you just stop? Do you think you could stop?
Okay, yeah, like that, but I do have to mention one last thing. We have a video coming in, and I said after this video I would watch no more, and this has to be like, I don't know.
This is a manatee screwing an underage Vietnamese girl.
No. This is a quadriplegic lady. And she basically, to make it lightly, she takes on, I got my buddy punching me right now.
Sure.
She takes on insects, you could say. She puts them inside and whatnot.
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay, wait a minute.
Who puts it in? Does someone put it in for her? I mean, she doesn't have use of her arms or legs.
Right. What happens, I guess, from what I understand reading it or whatever, is watch the ex-lady or whatever they call her. Have insects coming out of every orifice.
Tony, are you married? Wait a second. Let's find out about
Tony. He's married to his job and his religion. Are you kidding?
my job, that's where the problem, I don't, you know, with all this, I have no reason to lie, but my uncle kind of runs a little bookie thing, so I do like a little muscle work for him, so to speak. And I'm not lying.
Shocking.
But what happens is with this style of work and all...
Yes. Hold on. Tony used the F word, so Anderson had to give him the axe. All right. Now, hold on. Let me say this. First off, let me address the quadriplegic with the insect and the coos situation. I respect this woman. There's a lot of people that are sitting home collecting Social Security and disability who have disabilities. This is someone who's not handicapped. She's handicapable. She's out there earning a living and not sucking the teat of Uncle Sam, waiting for that $637 check every 2 weeks in the mail. Here's someone who's proud. Here's someone who's out there forging a living for herself. Maybe not her first career choice. Probably wasn't the kind of thing she wanted to do right out of high school. But the road has taken a turn, and she's making a lemonade out of lemons.
Look, these are sick people. Tony is addicted to this form of behavior. This is not, it's not, it's worse now. What's a worse word than degrading? This is destructive stuff.
Effed up?
It's effed up. It's destructive. It's destructive to Tony. And Tony's in a vicious cycle here. And I doubt he's going to be able to just quit doing this. And I'm even afraid to ask what his relationships are like with women. Why don't you ask about his family upbringing?
No,
the guy's
no.
out breaking Listen. Legs for Uncle Guido. He's out.
How dare you assume he was an Italian-American? Just because he ran some books?
Because I'm from New York. And my friend Tony had an Uncle Guido.
Tony, are you Italian?
That's still the
curse. Tony, are you of Italian descent?
100%
Pisces. All right, just a coincidence, I assure you. I assure you. There are many misconceptions about the way Chinese women drive and black men having a bigger ass and Italians being involved with the mob. All brutal stereotypes.
Listen, my father, all the Jews and Italians from New York, they hang out together, and I must admit, listen, Tony,
right,
where's Tony?
Fine.
We need to get Tony some help.
No, Tony's good. Listen, Tony, you just promise me the quad one is the last one, all right?
I guarantee you it will, and I really mean this. Thank you for sharing this great moment in radio history.
Thank you, Tony.
And I have to say one thing, Adam, I'm not like one of these suck-ups, but that man show, man, the man show boy, all the stuff there, you got a great humorous intellect, and I really appreciate it, and I'll guarantee you that this is the last video.
Thanks, Paizo.
You guys from this day on. You guys are great.
All right. Arrivederci. I love that, Tony. He's a Paizan.
not to stereotype or categorize.
You see why women love Italian men?
Certain type women, like certain type Italian men.
All right, let's talk to Jay over here. I've never seen one of those bestiality movies. There's certain things that I realize that are out there and that I don't have to see.
Yeah, eating feces, pornos, and
the
those
one
kind of
where they rape the colostomy bag.
Yeah, that sounds pretty gross. But what people should understand is what he's describing, there is a cycle to it, and it takes more and more to get somebody stimulated. And it comes back to very unhealthy behavior. That needs
how dare you label Tony unhealthy
as you are asking other people about their families of origin after a simple threesome. This guy's watching the animal kingdom and
he cannot indulge in a simple enema bag porn every once in a while.
Amongst,
how dare you?
Amongst a group of hardened sex criminals, he's the last in the room.
Jay,
nose stuck to the team.
Jay,
yes,
you're set, you're 19. What's up?
Well, I heard you earlier today, or earlier tonight. I don't get violent with the women, like, when they break up with me. I just, like, get a reaction after I break up with them, and I get very self-destructive. I start drinking a lot, or, you know, just anything to take my mind off of them.
Yeah,
I mean, my grades go down, I start ditching school, and it's normally girls like, well, I'm only in relationships that are, you know, something more than, you know, 6 months or whatever. I mean, they're usually 8 months, a year or whatever, and then I start getting really destructive after we break up.
Yeah, you're 19. How many of these you been in?
My first one was at age, well, I was a freshman in high school. My first one, that was a year. Then I got really destructive and I didn't want to talk to any girls for about a year. And I kind of saw a girl in between then, but then senior year I dated this other girl for a year. And then just recently as a freshman in college, I dated a girl for 8 months.
I see. And do they always break up with you?
Yeah, I refuse to break up with women. I view it as you can always work something out. I mean, my parents have been married for like 40 years. I mean, they got married when my mom was 16, my dad was 19.
All right. Well, we had one of those tonight already. Hey, Jay?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and think about it before you answer. Do you, you will not get out of a relationship. You will not end a relationship, but will you behave in a manner that gets them to end the relationship?
Hmm.
Ooh. Ah, not so dumb after all, is he? Maybe you're bringing this on yourself. Maybe this is a syndrome. This is some sort of thing that this repetition, this fantasy that you live out. Lord knows I've done this myself many times. Because your biggest fear is getting dumped, but yet you force someone to dump you at the 6 month part of a, you know, at the 6 month mile marker, road marker in a relationship. Do you do that? Well, first off, are you done recycling?
Yeah.
Okay. I see. Do you act? Why do they dump you?
Well,
let me tell you something. Women are fairly forgiving, and I think they would like a relationship to go on, provided the guy's acting the way they want them to act in the relationship. Now, you might listen. I've been dumped by every chick I've ever been with, but it's never because they got tired of me. It's because they got tired of me acting the way I was acting, and if I straightened out, they would have stayed with me.
Well, the problem is though, I've never cheated on them.
I never cheated either.
The one girl I lied to, I lied about going to a party.
Yeah, well, listen.
She got really pissed, and she broke up with me. All the other ones, I mean, I really don't know why. I never asked them for an explanation, but the one I did was because I went to a party and told her I wasn't going to a party.
But that ain't it, because you had to have some build-up, some history, some groundwork laid for that. It wasn't just you went to a party and didn't tell her about it.
Yeah, and you're not talking about the quality of the relationship, the nature of the intimacy, the relationship characteristics. You're talking about just a pattern of you meet somebody, you're with them for 10 months, then they break up with you and you get violent for a year. What do you do when it's storing up all this anger during that year? What kind of communication is going on between you and the other person? What type of people are you going out with? What was your relationship like with your mom?
I hardly ever went out with girls when I was, I mean, we had a strict rule because I'm always afraid of girls cheating on me, that I told her I won't go out with girls unless you go out with guys, and they never had a problem with that, so I never went out with girls, you know, at least alone. In groups, it was a different story, and like...
Oh, he meant go out socially with other girls.
Yeah, like...
All right, hold on a second. Let me talk to Bruce for a second. You see, and tell me if you're getting this vibe. Jay is sort of wondering about women and why they're dumping him and what's going on, and he's sort of chalking it up to outside third parties and outside energy and women just being...
Well, women are bad. They
women are being bad. Jay sounds very angry,
right?
Very controlling, and like I would dump his ass after, not after 8 months, but after about 8 hours. You know what I mean?
But women will take a little bit
more. I've talked to Jay for 4 minutes. I've had an ass full of Jay. He's getting these women to dump him, and I don't blame him for a second. And then he goes into one of his...
How angry he is.
He goes into why he's angry. Jay?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
You need to not focus on the final outcome, which is how angry you are when they dump you. You need to focus on the part that gets them to dump you so consistently.
Well, I mean, I always tell them if they want to hang out with me, because like I heard you guys over the break or when you guys put me on hold, I always tell them if they want to hang out with other guys, I would like to hang out with them and get to know the guy first. Because, I mean, as a guy, you're always going to be suspicious when they're like, oh, I'm going to hang out with some so-and-so when you never meet them.
Yeah, but listen, it doesn't sound like you're having an intimate relationship with somebody. It just sounds like you're laying down some rules and then you're getting them to agree to some rules. This is a relationship. It's an intimate relationship. It's not an employee-employer relationship. It's not a coach-player relationship. This is an intimate relationship, and it sounds like you're intellectualizing the whole thing.
But see, we both agree upon it. I always,
well, sure. I mean,
I always ask them. Well, I tell them if they have any problems.
Right. Well, just because you had your lawyer draft something up and you had her sign it in front of her lawyer doesn't make it legal. All right, listen, Jay.
Yeah.
There's a part of you that's almost something, robotic with women. You're not an intimate guy. You're an angry guy, and that's what ultimately gets them to dump you. They don't feel anything. They just feel an angry Jay, and you got to get at some of that anger and figure it out. Go to some therapy, mellow out. Don't have a relationship for a year.
Why does it take a minute?
Do therapy for a year, read some books, and get your S together, and then enter a relationship when you're in shape.
get to be friends with a girl for about a month and see what happens.
Let me tell you something about a relationship. It's like entering the octagon in one of those ultimate fighting championships or a boxing ring. If you're going to sit around, smoke cigarettes, and drink beer for a year, and you decide you're going to walk into the ring, you're going to get pummeled. You got to be doing your push-ups. You got to be jumping rope. You got to be doing your road work. You got to be hitting that heavy bag. You know what that's equivalent of? That's equivalent in a relationship to getting your head together, to doing your therapy, to reading your books, to taking your walks, to clearing out your head so that when the bell rings and you're actually asked to perform in the ring, you can make a good showing.
And that's what you've been doing for the last 10 years.
No, not me. I've been drinking beer and smoking. We'll be back.
Hello? Who's this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline will be right back.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce over there. Lit is going to be in here at the end of the week. And surprise guest, Dr. Drew, everybody. You know his work from, well, I guess you know it from this show.
Whoa!
I don't know if he's taken ill or he was replaced some years back. Maybe left with Poor Man in the early 90s.
He left on last Wednesday.
Oh, was it? It feels like it's been longer. And so far, Bruce has come in here and done just a, I was going to say a whale of a job, but I'm looking for a smaller aquatic animal.
Don't mention animals.
Yeah, that's like a walrus of a job.
Oh.
A giraffe of a job. Remember what you told him, alliteration.
Dolphin of a job. A flounder of a job. Ah, I'll give you a grouper of a job. Brian?
Hello.
You're 21.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right, except for my problem.
All right.
All right, I'm a gay male, and whenever I have sex with my boyfriend, we lube up and everything as well as we can over the condom, of course.
Sure.
And I have, like, whenever I go to number two, I leave, like, little blood trails.
I see.
You're gay.
True. All right. So your behymen has been broken many times.
Well, I don't know. We're still sort of in the beginning of that. But, I mean, see, that's what I was wondering, because I'm, like, sort of, I don't know, necessarily inexperienced. But, I mean, I guess once you've done it, that's all the experience you really need.
Ooh, yeah, that's what the guy told me at camp. Now, let me just figure this out. I'm intrigued by the gay lifestyle.
You're the master, right?
I'm the master of the gay lifestyle.
You're the backdoor man.
It's one I've been trying to embrace for many years. I can't get my penis to go along with it. But I enjoy all other facets of the gay lifestyle.
We're very clean. We're very nonviolent.
I'm telling you, there's nothing like the gays. If this society was gayer, it would be a much better place.
You know what I find very funny?
What?
Is that we're so darned clean, but we have, like, the dirtiest type of... Like, we go into the dirtiest place imaginable to have sex. Isn't that weird?
I know. It's a guy, he's got a... His Miatas are, you know, the dash is armor-all, the tires are armor-all. There's not a speck of dust on it. You go into the guy's living room, it's immaculate. It's like he could perform surgery in his kitchen. And then he takes his crank and stuffs it into some asshole. Yeah, I mean, go figure.
Yep.
A clear compensation, Brian.
Well.
But anyway, now, you have a boyfriend.
Right.
And do you guys live together?
Well, he comes over.
I see.
We live apart still. We're not that committed.
Oh, what a lifestyle.
That's true.
Party, party, party.
Maybe you guys want to come over Adams and...
you know how it goes. It's raining, man.
Oh, boy. Oh, what a life. Oh, do I love that gay life. and it's better when you move in.
That's why gay means happy, my friend.
I know. You get to move in together. You got two incomes. You got the house looks amazing. It's the taste is impeccable.
Squeegees in the shower?
Squeegees in the shower. Yes. That is so true. We haven't talked about that in years. All gay men who have those Lucite shower doors, they squeegee them off when they're done. You know how I clean my shower door to get the soap scum off it? I pee on it.
Oh.
Lovely.
That's
lovely.
A straight man's move. How do I get the ass off the shower door? I pee on it. That's how.
It's angry straight man.
All right. So now, wait a minute. Just hold on with the ass. Now, do you give it to him, too?
No.
Now, see, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Are most gay relationships this way, where one is the receiver?
From what I understand, there's a role played in the bedroom.
Now, is that role a subservient role?
No, not necessarily.
But just, as the guy who's being anally raped, don't
anally
you...
taken.
I prefer to think of it as rape.
Okay.
Don't you think of it as a sort of subservient role? You're not the aggressor. You're what the female, the equivalent to what the female would be in a traditional heterosexual relationship?
Yeah, but I don't know. It's not, well, I don't look at it as like a dominance type of act. It's, you know. It's,
all right, but what about in your relationship? Is he the more aggressive one? Does he get his way more?
No, we're both actually pretty guys. We're like, I mean, we go out and play sports and basketball and stuff. And I mean,
right.
I
but
know.
Now, what if some hillbillies were trying to squirt you with a fire extinguisher from the back of their pickup truck? Would you run? Who would be the one who would run after them? You or him?
Oh, no. Well, you know, I don't know. We don't really we're not really even that like outwardly gay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in public, we don't hold hands or kiss. We're in kind of a rural area, and we don't want to cause any trouble.
What about your parents?
My parents, well, they're fine with it, but they keep it kind of quiet.
Brian, Adam's dealing with some God-given stereotypes that were delivered to him on...
I love the gays. I've said that many, many a time. I really...
Hey, you know what? I love the gays, too.
I know. You love them. I mean, I really mean it. Here's what we would have with a gayer society. We have more recycling. We'd have much less crime. We have just general, better, just sort of overall decency.
And fashion.
I'll show you something. You'll never see a gay guy change his oil and then dump the motor oil down the storm drain.
You'll never
see a gay guy drive down the freeway and toss a bunch of McDonald's wrappers out of the window. Mm-hmm. You'll never have a gay guy get drunk and start beating on some other guy at a soccer game or something. It doesn't happen. These people recycle. They care about the environment. They're into politics. You go down to the gay section over here. Go down to West Hollywood. Go down to Santa Monica Boulevard. Go down to Boys Town. You'll never see a more immaculate place. They're constantly digging up the street and improving it. All the storefronts are impeccable. It's clean. It's safe. This is what you get with the gays.
Why don't you go live there?
I wish I was gay. I would like to be the official straight ambassador of the gays.
Maybe there's a gay person locked inside your body.
You know how you start, Adam?
Hmm.
When you're meandering through the porno store, just... keep on walking into the gay section.
Yeah.
And pick up one and take it for a drive.
I know, but you know, I've talked about this with Drew, and don't take this the wrong way, but gay erotica to straight guys is repulsive.
Oh, really?
It is sickening to them. They have a physical reaction to it. I cannot see it. Bruce, if you see a gay erotica, some guy's really working some other guy, it hits you on a visceral gut level that's repulsive to you, doesn't it? Yes, yeah. It does. We can't help it. It's a straight man's curse.
Oh,
all right. Anyway, his bleeding anus. What about it?
Oh, do I get to?
I've tried like sitting in warm baths and like all the house.
The
remedies.
Sitz baths, right? And you tried the hemorrhoidal preparations over the counter.
Yep, nothing.
Well, okay. What is the bleeding like, from? Bruce.
Still, I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right. What do you think? See how polite is?
Hemorrhoids are veins that are used to having low pressure of blood going through them. And if the pressure builds up, people with strain when they're, you know, a lot of constipation, things that cause them to expand beyond the radius or diameter they should be, as something like that expands, the wall weakens and you have a leakage of blood. So the things that you do are things that would decrease the pressure. People that sit for long periods of time, you know, doctors recommend they sit on something soft. Right, it's in a donut. If you're having the bleeding, you need to have it looked at, first of all, because you're assuming it's coming from the hemorrhoids, and most likely it is.
No, he's not saying it's coming from the hemorrhoids. He didn't say he had hemorrhoids, did he?
Well, I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm just...
Oh, hold on a second. Bruce, here's a mistake you commonly make. You read the screen. You see? Don't read the screen. Because he never said he had hemorrhoids on the air. He said he was bleeding from the ass.
I thought he said hemorrhoids.
No, you didn't. No, he has hemorrhoids, but he never said it. You read it on the screen.
Okay.
You see, you got to wait for him to say it because everyone is listening to the show doesn't know what you're talking about with the hemorrhoids because you're reading it.
Okay. Can I get back to my profound statement?
You see what I'm saying?
All right. So, Brian.
Yeah.
Bleeding, it's in the category of rectal bleeding. So, one of the very common causes, anal fissures, you could have a little... like
that's pretty good.
Cut in the wall. Well, but it's certainly consistent with what you're describing. Uh-huh. So what a doctor would do, even if you have hemorrhoids would probably take a look a little further up with at least an anoscope and make sure that they're not anal, that there's not an anal fissure causing the bleeding, and maybe even use a sigmoidoscope, because you are talking about a very common cause of bleeding, hemorrhoids, but then you have anal fissures.
What if he stayed away from the cornholing activity for just a couple of, gave his ass a rest?
Well, he still should have a doctor look at him.
Well,
no doctor.
Obviously, he's traumatized his ass with his boyfriend's penis. How about switching over to a little oral love? Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Brian?
Yeah?
How about you work this guy's ass for a little while and give your own ass a little break?
That might teach him something.
Yeah, stay off the ass for a little while. And let me say this. Obviously, it's a little embarrassing for some guys to go into the doctor and say, listen, I'm going to get my coolie work pretty good.
Let me tell you, the other thing with the gay community, they know their doctors, and they're not at all shy about talking
to
the doctor.
Brian, you're not reticent at all about going in and telling some guy you've been getting work pretty good in the anus?
Well, the thing about my butthole is that it's as big as a mason jar.
Oh, is that that guy? He did it again.
That was our guy.
Yeah. How come you didn't pick up on that?
I don't know the guy. Drew knows the guy's voice. Of course you got a sense of humor. You can't be uptight and have a penis in your ass.
That's the mason jar guy. Huh?
I don't know if it was him. We got to play that for Drew, because it may have been a guy doing a mason guy thing. But let me say this. Let me say this about gay and anus. I think there should be gay doctors like there's mafia doctors.
Well, they don't have to be that secretive.
You know what I'm saying? You take a bullet, some other wise guy shots you, you can't go to the hospital, you get reported, you go to the mafia doctor. You got an anal fissure from your boyfriend cornholing you too much, you go to the gay doctor. You know, you got a little pink eye from some semen in your eye, you go to the gay doctor. He keeps it on the down low. You know what I mean? No questions asked. Just fix that fissure, give you some lube, send you on your way. You pay cash.
It's not you quite that clandestine.
Yeah, you should be a gay doctor.
Because I have that
empathy.
That'd be
empathy. A good pick for you. All right, we're going to take a break. First, let's say hi to Jennifer. Jennifer?
Yeah, hi.
You're 16?
Yeah. Okay, I think I'm on the verge of anorexia.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's serious. I think it's called anorexia nervosa.
How much do you weigh?
117.
How tall are you?
About 5'4".
You're overweight. Drew, please. She's not overweight. All right, hold on.
All right, this is a very important call. Stay on the line, Jennifer, because we really want to talk to you. Very important subject.
That's right. Okay. What was it? We'll be back.
Loveline. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Yeah. It's the Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Spiz.
God.
Over there.
They call more names than when I was 14 years old and riding on the wrong bus.
Called Bruce Jackal 10 seconds ago. I'll forget about that phone number. Let's keep rolling along. Let's see. Let's burn some calls. What do you say, man? Jennifer.
Yeah.
All right. So you think you may be anorexic, yeah?
Yeah.
5'4", 116?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you throwing up?
No. That's bulimia.
You're taking... Well, it can be both, right?
Well, big issue is, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as being overweight?
Yeah.
When you objectively know you're not. I mean, there's a disorder of body image, of your perceived body image, is one of the requisite problems with an anorexic condition. So,
you taking laxatives?
No.
What are you eating?
I don't eat breakfast. I don't eat lunch. And I'll eat dinner so that my parents don't suspect anything.
Okay.
But only really small portions. Like, I won't eat a lot. And usually... I'll put a lot in my mouth and not swallow it and then spit it in a napkin or something.
Yeah. You guys, you sit down for dinner every night with your parents?
Yeah.
Well,
but you have the altered body image, you have the preoccupation with your weight, probably over-exercise.
Yeah.
And so you're well on the way. So this is a huge problem in this country, and a lot of it has to do with body image and the way it's presented to younger girls, and it has a terrible...
All right, what should she do?
Terrible outcome. Well... She's calling us. She's willing to acknowledge that she may be on the way to having a full-blown problem with anorexia. She needs to see somebody. How can she get to see somebody? She's how old?
16.
So just see a therapist and work with someone. The recovery rate is not that good as you go further on in time. Bulimia, right. Much better.
Go to response to medications. Talk to a counselor at school.
Talk to a counselor first at school.
All right. Anna?
Yes, hello.
You're 21. What's up, Perky?
I'm a stripper, and I fell in love with my best friend who was my roommate when he was arrested.
All right, wait. You're a stripper.
Uh-huh.
Topless or bottomless?
Actually, usually I only do, on stage, I only do topless, and then for private dances, I go fully nude.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What state are you calling from?
Oregon.
Yeah, you gotta get out that way. Fully nude for the lap dance.
How much?
No, I mean, how much, yeah.
$20, and, you know, some people give you more. It just kind of depends on...
All right. Now, please help me understand something. I may just be drunk and have an erection, but I swear to Christ, some of those songs have been condensed.
People tell me that, too, but not really. It's just sometimes they're played a little faster.
Oh, okay.
So it seems like it, but...
Well, okay. Just as long as there's no foul play.
Honesty.
Yeah, listen, that's what I mean. I mean, a 4 minute and 10 second song is magically 2:56 cool. Now.
You have to be pretty drunk to not
And listen. My penis is going, what's up? I just $20 on Stairway to Heaven... And I got like 2 fanny shakes and it's done.
Then you can never go wrong with Nine Inch Nails. They always have really long songs.
Yeah, but you guys speed them up. Sounds like Alvin and the Chipmunks are covering it. All right. So, okay. So you do that and you fell in love with a guy.
Yes, he was my roommate and my best friend.
He was your roommate and your best friend.
Yes.
And what's he in jail for?
He was a drug supplier.
I see. How long is he in jail for?
He's in for 1 more year.
Uh-huh.
And I've been waiting for him, and I've waited a year now.
Yeah.
But my family is just, like, completely against him, and now I've kind of turned away my family for him. And I don't know exactly how to work it.
Well, what's up with your family that you decided to get into stripping anyway?
See, the strange thing is nothing. My family's been really great.
Yeah. Where's Dad?
Dad's at home with Mom.
Yeah. Don't you have some issues with men, some power with men?
I never did before, but now I do.
Yeah.
Never before. And wait, you love your daddy?
My daddy is the greatest thing in the whole world. I'm a daddy's girl.
And you love your mommy?
Mom and I have always butted heads ever since I was little.
Over attention for daddy?
Over attention in general. I never really got any from her.
Oh, interesting. Because there's always an attention issue that goes on, usually with daddy and strippers.
Absolutely. Do you have to do anything to tolerate the stripping? Do you drink or use any substances?
Oh, no. I'm completely straight. I don't drink. I don't do anything.
Your parents know you strip?
Yes, actually. They found out when he was taken to jail, and I said, I'm a stripper, and Dad flipped out. And Mom was actually the more understanding one, which is very strange.
Yeah, that's got to be delight for any parent, though. the good news is she's a stripper. I mean, the bad news is she's a stripper, but the bad news is she's waiting for her drug addict boyfriend to get out of prison they can have
drug addict
stripper kids. I know, he just sells.
He sells them.
Okay, listen. Listen, please don't let this guy get you pregnant. You're gonna give birth to a moccasin.
No, I'm not that stupid either.
Okay. Well, listen. You're 21. You shouldn't wait a year for this guy to get out, but who the hell are we to talk you out of it? I mean, you love the guy. You correspond with him.
Mm-hmm.
You go and visit him in prison?
Yes, I drive actually 6 hours to visit him.
All right. Here's the reality, Hannah. This is the best your relationship's ever going to be.
Why?
You know why? Because it's like everything in life. You know the best part of a new car? It's the drive over to the dealership. That's the best part of having that new car. It's driving to the dealership knowing you're going home in the car. It's not when it gets keyed a week later. It's not when you get your parking ticket. It's not when you get your insurance bill. It's not even the drive home from the dealership when you're worried about getting into an accident or going through a mud puddle. It's the anticipation that's the best part. And her anticipating this and having him locked in, more fantasy. It'll never get better. He'll get out. He'll be beaten on her in 3 weeks.
Yeah. So Anna has some core issues here. And let's get it straight. There's nothing wrong with strippers. They're not bad people.
World needs them.
They have issues. And they're in an industry that is inherently abusive and degrading to them.
She's 21.
She's saying she has no issues.
Don't get pregnant. Nah. Stay with this guy. Screw the family. See what happens. I hate you.
No, absolutely not. Anyway. Go to a therapist and get honest about what's really going on.
All right. Kelly, 19, what's up?
Hi. I wanted to say that I think you're pretty hot, Adam.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Okay.
Like on Loveline before, when it was on TV.
Yeah, baby.
So, I have a weird problem, actually, that I more so get really emotional after sex, anything like that.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
After orgasm?
Yeah, pretty much.
You cry after orgasm?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do, too, because it's like, the chick's going, that would be $100? Oh. I go, oh, come on, baby, no. It only took 5 minutes. Come on, give me a break, honey. $100.
Okay, right. So what's going on with your emotional state? I mean, you're just crying, or do you feel real sad, or do you feel...
I don't know. It's like, I feel like I'm an emotional person, but the one time when it really...
All right, what do we need to know about you? Ever raped, molested, abused?
Mm-mm.
No uncle did anything weird to you? Daddy wasn't killed in the motorcycle accident when you were four?
No.
No abandonment, no freakiness?
Not really.
Nobody ever got on top of you and didn't get off of you?
No one
ever forced you to do anything you didn't want to do.
Long-term relationships or frequent short-term relationships? What are we talking about?
Too long-term.
All right. And crying each time?
Every time.
All right. Therapy, and more therapy. We got to take a break. I don't know what this is. I mean, it's connected, obviously, to her upbringing, but she says everything's great in the past. I don't know why she cries. For some women, women will cry when they're not sad.
Can happen.
Women cry at weddings all the time. Women cry at graduations. Women cry at ceremonies. Maybe it's part. Women will cry with an emotional release. Maybe the release of the orgasm just forces the tears. Maybe they're not tears of sadness.
Yes, these are tip of the iceberg calls. There's more information.
Fantastic. Yeah. We'll be back. Well, there you have it. My throat is sore from yelling at Dr. Bruce all night.
I want to thank Dr. Drew for coming back.
Dr. Drew tomorrow night. I want to thank Dr. Bruce for doing a whale of a job. And yes, I stick with whale.
Oh.
Sperm whale of a job this whole week and part of last week filling in for the inept and lazy Dr. Drew. He'll take a verbal beating when he comes in. Oh, rest assured. All right, so thanks, Bruce.
You're
always
welcome.
A pleasure.
Anytime. I'll be back.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for the dearly departed Dr. Bruce saying mahalo. 97 out of the last 110 guys I tried to blow in the last 6 month period, my jaw stuck open.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station.
The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Ingold.
Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.